September 30, 2018, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat. It's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. The chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. The cows in water up past the knees. 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is here, it's gonna take us to the train. Looks like we're gonna be blessed with a little more rain. 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 5 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 5 feet high and rising. Well, the rails are washed out north of town. We gotta head for higher ground. Can't come back till the water goes down. 5 feet high and rising. Well, it's 5 feet high and rising.
Life for Pedro Show. Happy Sunday. Brother Matt, he was going to do the show with me today, but last minute he had to go help his brother. And you know, there ain't a greater deed you can do except help your brother. So Brother Matt did the right thing. I'll see him Wednesday probably. I am not totally man alone though, because through the engineering miracles of those software cats in Estonia who brought us Skype, I got Mr. William Elliott Whitmore via Skype here on Watt from Pedro Show. Welcome aboard, Will.
Hey, I'm sure honored to be here. And you know, you saying helping out your brother, that I like that philosophy. And it reminds me of a poster I have of yours. I think it's a Pettibone drawing, and it says, No Arrogant Prayers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a drawing of, and it's a guy hoisting up another guy, and I always just look at that and think, that's the spirit of brotherhood right there.
And that's why I chose it. It was a tour poster, right?
Yeah,
I think maybe for the second man.
Yep, it was.
And, a friend of mine named, God, what was his name? Down in Florida, the oldest town, St. Augustine? Yeah, Rob DiPiazza. He printed them on a trippy plastic.
Yeah, it's like shiny, like waterproof.
It's going to last, Will. I should tell people we started off with John Coltrane from that lost album they found when he recorded the day before the Ballads Johnny Hartman trip. It's called Both Directions Once, and this tune didn't even have a name. It's Untitled Original 11386. And then from Will, his new record, 5 Feet High and Rising. And Will, I want to talk about your musical journey. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, man, I was pretty fortunate to grow up in a musical family. And some of my earliest memories are listening to records in the living room. We had one of them old console record players, the big giant box thing.
Sure.
And my folks loved country music, so we listened to a lot of Willie Nelson. And their first date was a Charlie Pride show at the county fair, and so they loved Charlie Pride, so we listened to a lot of that.
That's a trip. My pop told me about Charlie Pride. You know, he was in the Navy. He was a sailor. He said a lot of them sailors loved Charlie Pride music, but they didn't really know. kind of everything about Charlie Pride. Beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful, you know, singer, great. Though. And I love this stuff. Yeah, you know, I grew up in Navy housing, so I heard a lot. Were your parents players?
Well, my dad picked the guitar. He had an old Sears and Roebuck piece of junk guitar that he picked around on. And my mom played piano, upright piano there in the living room.
Ah, so you always had instruments there in the living room.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's something interesting, you know, when they're just around. When you're a little kid, you start to kind of pay attention to them, and they become these objects of fantasy a little bit. And when your hands get big enough to wrap around the neck, you know, and I don't know if you found that when you started playing bass, you know, your hand gets big enough to kind of wrap around it, and
it was hard. Yeah, they were big strings. First, I played a guitar with four strings. I didn't know bass had bigger strings. It was arena rock. You were so fucking far away, it was hard to tell, you know. But what about the idea, like a lot of times if there's a piano, the parents say, well, I'm going to have my girl or boy take lessons.
Yeah, I think my mom offered up lessons, and I think I didn't have the discipline for piano.
Sure.
But looking back, I wish I'd stuck with it.
Of course.
You know, when it was time to play later, I thought, man, I wish I had more of them fundamentals and stuff. But that's, you know, I had them books. My dad had, it was Mel Bay.
Mel Bay. That's right.
And there was Mel Bay teaches banjo, and Mel Bay teaches guitar. And my grandpa picked banjo, too. And so that was around, too. And those things, they became objects of fantasy for me. And boy, hold on tight. You know, once you discover that.
Sure.
Back.
So guitar kind of was what you first did. What about at school? Did you get in, like, the school band or some music classes or choir or something?
Yeah, well, I started bringing my acoustic guitar to school, and we'd pick around during lunch. I went to a kind of a small country school, and we'd pick around during lunch. And the music teacher, Mr. Wilkins, I remember his name was, there was a spot to play bass on the for the show choir, you know, where they dance around and do the jazz hands and stuff.
Sure.
And I never played bass, but I kind of taught myself bass from there. And I remember he let me take the bass rig home for the summer to practice. And then that next school year, I was the bass player for the school show choir, and I had to wear a tuxedo. I remember a tuxedo that was too small for me, and I played the bass in the high school show choir, and that was kind of a first taste of.
Hey, Will, was this electric bass or was this double bass?
This was just electric bass.
Okay, because usually when I think of school bands, I remember here in Pedro, yeah, they were double bass because it was either jazz or kind of classical or maybe swing, but not so much electric bass. That's really bitching. What town was this?
So this is a little town called Montrose, Iowa, and it's right by the Mississippi River. It's like the southeastern part of Iowa.
Sure.
South of Iowa City, if you know that town at all.
Yeah.
South of Iowa City, about an hour and a half.
I've done buttloads of gigs because the school's there, Hawkeyes.
Yeah, in fact, that's funny. I saw you at Gabe's.
That's right, Gabe's. Well, now it's just Gabe's, but in the old days it was Gabe's Oasis.
Yeah, with that tricky load-in.
Those stairs in the back all rusted out.
I remember seeing the engine room opera.
Oh, you saw the first opera. Okay, with Nels Klein and... Or was it with Joe Baiza?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
God, that was a life-changing experience. I mean, on that record, you talk about going to early shows and how that influenced you. Well, that show was one of them for me. So anyway, that was old Gabe's.
No, but that's trip about music, how it takes turns like that. It's kind of a links in the chain to connect us. Like a good-looking flannel. A lot of different threads. You know, I want to play this song... Country Blues, okay? I know this record's full of covers. We'll get to that later, but we're going to leave off at your early music journey working the bass at the choir.
Come on, you good time people, while I've got money to spend. for tomorrow might be Sunday, and I won't have a dollar or a friend. 'Cause when I've got plenty of money, good people, my friends all gather around. But as soon as my pocketbook is empty, not a friend in this world can be found. The last time I seen my woman, good people, she had a wine glass in her hand. She was drinking down her troubles with a low-down sorry man. Come around this old jailhouse and see me, good people. $40 won't pay my fine. Corn liquor's drowning my body. Pretty women been troubling my mind. Well, my mother told me plenty good people, and my father, he told me more. Said if you don't quit your rowdy ways, you'll have trouble at your door. Well, if I had listened to my mother, good people, well, I wouldn't be here today. With that shooting and drinking and gambling, at home I cannot stay. So go dig a hole in the meadow, good people. Dig it deep in the cold, cold ground. Come gather around you fine friends and watch this old scoundrel go down.
Restless and sliding and totally wrecking your life. I'm up on a Sunday, so Saturday's open, alright. I'll never regret it, or let it become some big fight. I'm up like a rocket, so don't try and stop it tonight. Let them have their fun. Before the town gets cold, before the hearts grow cold, let them have their fun. Still getting frenetic, I'm totally restless and fine. I guess it's pathetic to try and erase the daylight. I'm up like a rocket, we don't try to stop it tonight. Let them have their fun while they're still young. Before the town gets cold, before the hearts grow cold, let them have their fun. Before the hearts grow cold, let them have their fun. Let them have their fun. Let them have their fun while they're still young. Before the town gets old, before their hearts grow cold, let them have their fun. Now get so before the hearts so cold, let them have their fun.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. I wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. This house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know. I'm gonna leave young thing alone. But ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away.
Some lyrics or song ideas or something, and yeah. I like to see them on paper.
Yeah, yeah, hard copy. Okay, that was William Elliott Whitmore with Country Blues. Then we had Brand New from the Solvents up in the Northwest. Before the Town Gets Sold, Let's Let Them Have Their Fun. And then Wintering Out of England with Baronix. I want to thank Davey from Crime Wolf for that turn on. Alice Bag from down here in SoCal. I Believe Her, Do You? Bags was first punk gig me and D. Boone saw in the 70s. Talk about changing our life. Big time. R04 out of Tokyo with Realize. Whack Whack Kingdom out of Berlin. That's Shige with Sugar Pills. And Alex Junghai, David Maharana. Man, I keep fucking his name up. Maranha. Sorry, David. Gabriel Ferrandini. These are Portuguese cats playing with Ox. With Psycho Magic, brand new record. And finally, William Elliott Whitmore with Ain't No Sunshine. Which I remember, what was that? Solid Rock, Temptations. Great, great version there, too. Okay, so, yeah, you're playing the electric bass for the school choir. This is like one of your first public gigs?
Yeah, it gave me the taste for, helped me get over being nervous playing in front of people and you know, kind of that camaraderie of playing with other people.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, I grew up kind of in the middle of nowhere, where I still live now, actually, and so, you know, I was always used to playing by myself, which I still do, but that was a taste of that, that camaraderie. I mean, you know as well as anyone, boy, when you lock in with someone, and that was that first taste of that.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Well, I mean, I actually got into playing music to be with D. Boone. It's kind of a motivation.
Let's hang out.
So did you do shit like this, like after school, the garage band thing, or in the bedroom kind of trip, cellar?
Yep. So I started doing all that stuff later. I made a big move. My folks passed away when I was in my teens, and I moved to Iowa City, actually, speaking of there.
Yep.
That was the nearest college town with any culture or anything.
Sure.
And that's where I started getting into exploring more music besides country music. The Descendants and Bad Religion and Minor Threat and Minutemen and Public Enemy and a little bit of political stuff too in the college town, you know.
Sure. Me and D. Boone put out the first three Descendant albums, New Alliance Records.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
I just did a gig last night with Spotsky. You know, he has a book of his pictures from those days, recording this paranoid time and that. Yeah. Okay, so it was a big move to go to Iowa City. It was more cosmopolitan, more infos.
Yeah, and more people, like-minded people to pick around with.
Like
and
big so petri dish, big fertile breeding ground.
Yeah, that's why I'm a big proponent of swapping things around and diversity and let's swap it all around.
Yeah, well, did you have this thing like the cassette tapes, the mixtapes, right? Your buddies would give you a whole bunch of bands to turn you on. This still goes on. Now it's MP3s and stuff, but I learned a lot of stuff from other cats.
Yeah, and it's good to stay hungry and you know, stay curious, and you do a good job of that with your radio show.
Kind of is a debt. I owe the movement because, you know what I mean? It was so open-ended to let me and D. Boone do whatever. I should let people get heard, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to pay down that debt, Will.
Well, it's working because I get turned on to new stuff and that's what that time was like. And so I was doing my country thing, you know, banjo picking, opening up for these hardcore bands and punk bands. And that was where I first learned the term DIY was, you know, and these kids put on shows in basements. I didn't know you could do that. You know, I 18-year-old off the farm. I thought you had to have a booking agent and all that stuff. And hell no, these kids were putting on shows in living rooms and that was all new to me. And so I didn't really come up in the coffee house folk way. I kind of came up through the punk way and through the back door kind of. And that was that. And
you know, if you think about it, not the aesthetic part, you know, like what kind of instruments you're using or anything, but they do share folk and the movement, punk movement, kind of share some things about you got to kind of do it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, if Woody Guthrie wasn't a punk, I mean, who was? I mean,
absolutely. Or Walt Whitman having to print his own book of poems.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's 1855. So yeah. Actually, it's an older tradition. I think people, you know, maybe the haircut fooled some of it. Yeah, I think a lot of the ethics actually go back to there. So you were just doing the man alone thing, not really banned.
Nope, I tried the band thing for a few months, and it just didn't. We had a lot of fun playing in the basement, but it just never worked out. And I just thought, well, I'll leave this up to the experts, and I'll be a one man band, but I'll get my camaraderie by doing shows with other
right,
people.
Right, sharing the stage instead of sharing the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what about recording? When did, like, you know, the William Elliott Whitmore solo recording begin?
So let's see. So I jumped in the van in the year 99 with some friends of mine, this band called Tangram, and they let me jump in the band for them, opening up, picking banjo, and kind of being a roadie, too. And they were my friends, and they said, if you can help us carry amps, you can open up the show. And
same thing, Minuteman with Black Flag.
Yeah, I love it. I love
it. But it was
that,
the same thing. You can ride in the boat with us, help lift the gear. You can open up. Yeah, okay.
Yep. And you know, and just like you guys, I mean, not the exact same, but it really, that was the start of a lot because that got me in front of some people. And I used to play this place called the Fireside Bowl in Chicago that was an old bowling alley. And there was a label called Southern Records out of Chicago,
Sure. Actually
out of London, but they branched in Chicago too. And one of the women, the woman that ran it, came out and saw me and asked if I wanted to put out records on Southern. And I had known the John Loder connection and the London connection and the Crass records and
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
So she kind of rolled the dice on me. And
I think Fugazi,
and
too. I think Fugazi put out their...
I was with her at the Fireside Bowl. She came out and saw.
I think Fugazi put out their records in England through Southern.
Yeah. There was a Fugazi connection, yeah. Which was exciting to me because, again, absolutely. You know, when I discovered that DIY stuff, I mean, And same with you guys too. I mean, out west, you know, I thought that's the spirit. I mean, that's the spirit I want to get into, but just doing my own country thing.
Right. Of course. Everybody's got to find their own voice. That's what makes it interesting. So you do this gig at this bowling alley. She checks it out. You want to record for Southern Records. So what was your first recording session like? Where was it at?
So I went and recorded with this guy named Mike Lust, who was in a band I really liked, and he had recorded some other bands I liked, and I had decided to record there in Chicago with him, and he was known for making, you know, more like rock records and like indie rock, but I really liked what he did, so I thought, well, I won't go to a like a Nashville place or something. I want to go where this stuff's happening, this more indie thing's happening.
Yeah.
So again, it was just another choice to kind of, you know, sidestep the coffee house scene and come in the other way. And
sure.
So that first session was really fun, and we got players in to play on a couple things, and again, that was that friendship, that camaraderie, having friends come in and lay down something else.
Did you have an idea in your mind? Like, my first record, is it going to be like trying to capture what I do at my gigs? No, it's going to be... Because you had other people come in, right? You don't do that at your gigs. So you were envisioning a different thing for the record, right?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it is just me, you know, me with the banjo or me with the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And there was a couple tunes in there that my friend Mike said, hey, you know, maybe some organ right here or maybe some bass right here. And that was kind of exciting because, you know, that's the beauty of the studio in a way. I mean,
sure.
I don't want to overdo it in there because, like you say, that's not really what I do live.
It might be its own world, you know, and it's kind of cool to have that be that, and then your gigs are the other.
Yeah, and you know, you know, I was afraid to drench it with too much because I don't like that. Or you want to keep the spirit sparse, you know.
Sure.
But it was so fun.
So Mike would bring in ideas. He was kind of producer, co-producer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely, and I didn't even know what that meant at the time. he just was a friend with ideas. I didn't learn terms like that till way later.
Sure.
But it was just so much fun. And
was it quick?
Yeah. So we did that first one in about a week. Actually, those first three records for Southern, I did in about a week each, which didn't seem quick at the time. I feel like I would have done them each in a day or two, but there was scheduling and this and that, and I thought a week was a long time at that time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The old days, I mean, you probably made records in a day or so.
Oh, yeah. You know, Double Nickels in the Dime, on the Dime was 48 songs. Ethan mixed that in one night.
I can't believe it.
Well, they were little songs.
Yeah. Yep, and what a brilliant piece. I mean, that's one of those records that hit me just right. Again, that was that spirit. That's what I don't know if you knew you were reaching Midwesterners way back then.
Well, we did when we went on tour because people would come to the gigs and tell us.
Yeah, and that's got to be good to hear. I mean, I love hearing when it affects someone, and I just trip out thinking like about. Bands like Bad Religion or
sure.
that I grew up listening to, and I wonder if they know that I'm literally listening to it on the tractor in the field. I told that to Brett Gurewitz,
the singer.
I was
man.
On Epitaph.
Oh no! He was the bass guy who went to make his own label, right?
Yeah, well, he was a guitar player, and not singer. That was Greg, but he wrote a bunch of the stuff, and you know, you talking to. Folk and punk being of a cloth. I do a Bad Religion cover on this record, and I've been playing it live for years, and Brett kind of gave me some nice praise. He said he always kind of thought of that as a folk song, and just had real nice praise for it. And he said he kind of writes, which makes sense for those guys. I mean, a lot of them could be like folk anthems, you know.
Well, folk is like music of the people, right? And I really believe a lot of the music from the movement was from the people.
Yeah. So guys like Billy Bragg and
oh yeah, yeah. Me and him are born on the same day. I think he's a few minutes older than me. Hey, Will, we're at the end of the first hour.
I met him.
Did you meet him?
Well, we had a good visit, actually. We were both opening up for this band called the Pogues years ago, this Irish British band called the Pogues.
Sure.
And we were both opening up for them, and he was so nice and cool. And anyway, he's kind of a hero, too, and just a modern-day in the trenches, man.
Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 30, 2018, edition Walk Pedro Show. Special guests, William Elliott Wetmore. Hold tight for our two. September 30, 2018, it's the second hour of the Walk Pedro Show.
Johnny had a moonshine still in the bottom of a holler at the foot of the hill. He woke up about break of day, thought he heard his grandpa say, "Run, Johnny, run, the feds will get you. You better get away, you better get away." He went up to the top of the hill and he saw them feds around his still. They busted the barrel and the boiler too, started drinking his homemade brew. He said, "Hey, that's my property, you got no right, so leave it be. An honest living's hard to make when a revenue man is on the take. Run, Johnny, run, they're gonna get you, You better get away, you better get away." The feds caught Johnny making a run and they took him up to Washington. Put him to work for the government, making moonshine for the president. Run, Johnny, run, they gonna get you, Better get away, better get away. Johnny got rich at the government stills, ran off to his home in the hill. And now the feds are on his track, he still owes a dollar on the whiskey tax. Run, Johnny, run, they're gonna get you, Better get away, better get away. You better get away, better get away.
Thank you. It's not quite the same. The only one to blame.
Yeah. pace myself while the hours tick slowly by, writing, reading, eating, taking care of my mom's every wish. I let her sip water. I have held her hand a bit once, a good strong squeeze from her. Knocks on the door from in that quiet holy room. Staff people come and go, just trying to do their job. I can do all I want in the space of 2 weeks, but I cannot delay the passing in of the inevitable. Soon I will be gone. Will she ask after me? At least the memories of pain are erased. Bits of conversation, disconnected flotsam and jetsam. At least I can get through. Blast of furious anger, but again, I always got that. This disease pulls no punches. It takes no prisoners. We all suffer equally. No one knows when the final days will come. For now, let the sun slide down and herald the night.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Run Johnny Run, William Elliott Whitmore. Then out of Baltimore, Basement Escape Blues from Old Omen. The Healers out of just west of Chicago, a little town, I can't remember its name. But Jamie, he's a beautiful cat and a tune chemistry. The Emperor's Ice Cream out of Brighton, England with Nothing Belongs to You. Guided by Voices, Dayton, Ohio. Brother Bob Pollard, you know, he's got to put out at least 10 albums a year. He's coming soon, I hear, to, I think, the Roxy or something, West Hollywood. Joe Brewer out of Madison, Days on Days, Patrick Grant, Pedal Swells, and finally William Elliott Whitmore with Hot Blue and Righteous, is ZZ Top. Yeah, a lot of covers. Well, okay, those first three records were Southern. What's the connect with Bloodshot?
So then, after the Southern deal, I was hooked up with the Epitaph folks for a little while.
Brett.
And that was cool. Yeah, Mr. Brett, who again, was real, real nice to me. And I liked those folks out there a lot.
Yep.
And I did a few records with them. And then, I got hooked up. There's a guy that works at Bloodshot named Pete Klockow.
Okay.
He used to work at Southern back in the day. And that's who got a hold of me about doing that, that 20th anniversary comp that actually you do a song on too. You do a John Lang song on it.
I got invited to do that with a bunch of people. Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah.
I thought it was a cool collection. And so that kind of introduced me to them. And then I did a 7-inch with them too. So we started working together. I've always liked their stuff. I mean, I remember collecting 7-inches of theirs, Nico Case, the Sadies and stuff like that.
Right, John, I was going to just say, John from the Mekons.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, another hero.
Great cat. Really great cat.
Yeah, your talk with him was real good on here a while back.
Yeah, his journey, very incredible. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, like this tune I want to play next, Don't Pray on Me. I mean, they gave you the idea, hey, you want to make a record of covers?
Well, it was actually something I'd been working on for a couple years, just songs I play live that are covers that I throw in for fun, and I've been working on it for a couple years and never really thinking it'd have a home. But, yeah, I kind of wanted to put these all together and give them a little place to be.
Well, you know, it's funky. I shouldn't have said covers because you interpret these songs. You don't – this isn't like a top 40 band giving you some kind of, like, rubber stamp. This is – you interpret these guys your way.
Well, that's kind words because
– No, it's true. That's why I dig it. I love this record.
Well, I remember you saying when it, talking about your cover of John Langford, you said, "Why do a one-for-one cover? I mean, it's already been recorded one way. You know, it's already been done that way. Let's do it a different way." And I feel the same.
It's like Jimmy when he did "Hey Joe."
Yeah,
Jimmy's way. Even when Jimmy did Bob Dylan, right? He still did Jimmy's way.
Yeah, he kind of made it his own.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, still acknowledged the creator, but he was the interpreter.
Yep. An interpolation or interpolation or interpretation.
That's it. I would. Yeah.
So I had it in the chamber ready to go, and so they said, "Let's work together." And I said, "Man, I already got this record ready to go." And all the while I was writing too, because I mean, first and foremost, I like to write stuff.
Of course.
But. So that gave me time to write it just kind of all came together and they're kind of working with me. They're not a label that's going to tell you what to do or anything. So that was cool. But, I was proud to put this stuff out. You know, I always liked when, like I said, growing up listening to country music, you know, hearing Willie Nelson cover George on My Mind.
Sure.
Or something. Or
Whiskey River.
Yeah, here in, Old Man, you know, you guys are...
You hear it at the beginning and the end, right? You hear Whiskey River twice.
Yeah,
okay, let's listen to Don't Pray on Me.
The grizzly scene on my electron beam told a story about human rights. So all the king's horses and all the king's men had a riot. for 2 days and nights. The city exploded, but the gates wouldn't open, so the company asked them to quit. Now everybody's equal, just don't measure it. Well, Hanson did it to Hester, Mark David did it to John, and maybe Jack did it to Maryland, but he did it to South Vietnam. For beauty and glory, for money, love, and country, now everybody's doing it. Don't do that to me. A bitter debate and a feminine fate lie in tandem like two precious babes. While the former gets warmer, it's the latter that matters, except on the nation's airways. While custodians of public opinion stood back after vainly discussing her rights, lay hands off her body, it's not your fucking life. I don't know what stopped Jesus Christ from turning every hungry stone into bread. I don't remember hearing how Moses reacted when the innocent firstborn sons lay dead. I guess God was a lot more demonstrative back when he flamboyantly parted the sea. Now everybody's praying, don't pray on me. Said everybody's praying, don't pray on me.
Watch for Pedro Show? Yeah, don't pray on me. William Elliott Whitmore. And then Mike Ragnetta with, what is that anyway? It actually was like a 20-minute jam on one big chord, but I thought maybe a couple minutes would be enough so you get the point. Then Omniflux with Foma Stylish Coma. Fanfare from Tashiwada with Yoshiwada and Friends. That's a father and son trip just came out. And finally, Dustin Wong with New Societies Interacting. Let's zoom in. And we're here with Will talking about this album he did where he interpreted works that other people had written. While parallel, he was writing for his next thing that's coming down the road. So Will, where'd you record this at?
So this is recorded in a studio that my cousin and I built called Flat Black Studios. And we built it out of an old barn not too far from where I live, and not too far from Iowa City, actually. And my cousin's a real, he knows all about recording, and he's a real gearhead and stuff. And he's always been kind of a musical partner in crime. And, you know, when you're a one-man band, you know, you need someone to bounce ideas off of and stuff, like, or almost like an editor, too, you know, like I'll come to him with songs and he kind of helps me, you know, yeah, just be a sounding board and an editor a little bit. And of course we're blood. So we just go way back to being kids but we built a studio, just south of Iowa City. And so now I can go there and record whenever I want.
It's in a barn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you divide this barn up into different rooms, or is it like one big ass bars?
Yeah, there's one. The live room is great. Yeah, it's one big ass live room. Okay. And then there are like vocal booths and little isolation booths, sure, and stuff. And but I don't know. He just tells me which can to sing into, and I just do that. But he knows all the technical stuff. But we're pretty proud of it. And so I'm able.
Well, this
to
record sounds great. If you recorded this album there, it's fucking tits. Respect. Does it get cold? It's probably not very insulated, right? Summertime, real hot.
Well, no. So we actually insulated it all. And,
okay.
And it's pretty nice. And so we both used to do construction for a living, so we know how to make it square and level and make it nice. So yeah, we last few years we've been working on that, and so he's got an HVAC system in there and everything. So
wow. Cool. Do you guys have other cats come in there, like local music people?
Yeah, so that's how he makes a living now. So he records about a different band every day almost. So he's actually made that into like a real living.
Well, I'm thinking of the southeast corner of Iowa. There's something called Quad Cities, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Davenport and Rock Island and
So I played there a bunch.
Yeah, but I wonder, is that where the guys who come to record with your cousin, or is it just Iowa cats?
Well, it's people come from all over, actually. Okay. It's kind of got a decent reputation now, to where people travel, you know, to come. But it's a lot of Iowa folks, too. People from Des Moines and Iowa City.
I played with a band out of Des Moines and actually gave them a song for a compilation. They were called Fetal Pig.
That's another comp we were on together, that four-track.
Oh, you're on that four-track, too. Okay.
Yeah, Dan.
Dan, the cat from Fetal Pig.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was a song I wrote for Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa Bound.
Iowa Bound. Yeah, because I'm talking about the first opera, there's a song there called, it's a part, it's really one big song, but there's one part where I talk about being Pedro Bound, because in English, it's kind of strange. Bound means connected or tied, captured, but it's also something you're aiming at. You know, you know what I mean? It's got a double meaning there. You're attached, but you're also, I'm bound for there, right? That's where I'm going. You're really not there yet. So I thought that was, because it changed my life, right? I came to Pedro, that's where I meet Dean Boone, that's where everything changes. So, in a way, Pedro's always part of me. But in a way, I'm never going to really be part of Pedro. I came from Virginia. But that's the way life is. That's trippy about that. So I was thinking about putting Iowa in that kind of context for Dan, you know, and that four-track, because it was so homegrown. And that's a basic idea of the movement. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at, right? The only thing new is you finding out about it. Just go for it. Let the freak flag fly.
Yep. Okay. What's that? It's where you're at.
Because sometimes people think it just happened once in the 70s. And I don't believe that. I did, a bunch of intense stuff happened, but there's still spirit of those days still. And like we were talking before with Woody and Walt Whitman, I mean, some of this stuff's been in the air a long, long time. We're at the end of the second hour. I didn't mean to pontificate there. Better get all carried away sometimes, but I'm sorry. It's the end of the second hour, September 30, 2018. Special guest, William Elliott Whitmore. Hold tight for hour three. September 30th, 2018. It's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro show.
Baby needs shoes and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound and I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county's gonna take my belongings away cause I'm busted. I called on my brother to ask for a loan, cause I was busted. I hate to beg like a dog for a bone, but I'm busted. My brother said, man, there ain't much I can do. The wife and the kids are all down with the flu. And I was just thinking of calling on you. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I
come undone, unraveling her memory from my mind. I still remember how the loving of my honey was. I only hope her memory leaves before my money does. One glass at a time, I'll drink her off my mind and forget that her last name was once the same as mine. Another glass of gin with a squeeze of lime, and I'll forget I ever met her. One glass at a time, one glass at a time, one glass at a time, one glass at a time.
Yeah, there's a great song John Fogerty wrote for Creedence called Looking Out My Back Door. You know, memory and elephants playing in the yard. You got to watch out. You got to be watch out because it's so. I remember when that TV show Happy Days came out, and my pop told me, boy, those were not happy days. Here, we start off the third hour with William Elliott Whitmore doing Busted. Yeah, what's the story behind, why'd you pick that tune?
Oh, man, I've always loved that song, and I became familiar with it off of Johnny Cash's live Folsom record. But it's written by this dude named Harlan Howard, who, if you know about country music at all, I mean, he wrote, like, I Fall to Pieces, right, Patsy Cline. Right. He wrote a million great songs. And I just love that song. And, you know, I grew up pretty poor. And so who can't relate to that, you know?
Yeah, like, big time. Then from Hamburg, Cosmo Scheiss, a new band, Lawn Chair Larry. We had this guy, right? He put a bunch of weather balloons on his lawn chair and some beers and took a rifle. And, yeah, he went up into the air. The rifle was to pop the balloons when he was ready to come down. Yeah, what a trip. Be creative with bass and guitar and banjo, people. Maybe not with the weather balloons. Maybe that's a lesson there. Andrea Roten after that with Austria. He's next door to the Czech Republic, so maybe something's about that. And he's an Italian dude. A Yurt out of Ireland with a dystopian Geyer. Lady Hump out of Pedro here with Drug Knife. Going to play with him. No, we're not going to play with him, but their dude in the band is putting on the gig. Plebs from 35 years ago with Monopoly. And finally, William Elliott Whitmore with One Glass at a Time. Yeah. I love it. I love it. What about, you must have had a lot, and some got cut out, right? Did you have too much material at the end of the day for this record?
Yeah, there was some that hit the cutting room floor.
Right.
I can think of, there's this guy, John Prine, who's one of my favorite songwriters. I mean, we're all chasing what he's doing, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got this great song, I think it's off his first record, self-titled record, called Sam Stone. And it's about a Vietnam vet coming home and how, you know, they called it shell shock. They didn't call it PTSD, but this song is about this guy, Sam Stone, and he gets addicted to drugs and just has a hard time after the war. Just a beautiful song. I mean, no one, I didn't know a lot of people were writing stuff like that at the time, but, man, he really sums it up.
So you know, John is still, still doing gigs.
Yeah, that dude, he's an inspiration. I mean, yeah, he really got throat surgery, everything.
Well, you know, Will, I got to tell you, some people want to rewrite history, and they want to tell you, because they got an agenda or some crap, you know, but yeah, there's been cats writing songs about stuff like that. Sometimes you got to dig. I'm glad you stumbled onto that. That's bitching. What about this fear of trains?
Yeah, so, man, that song actually kind of has this emotional, it hits like an emotional chord in me, I discovered that band Magnetic Fields, like 10 years ago or something.
Sure.
And they're just great. Stephen Merritt, just a great songwriter.
Right.
And that song's off a record called Charm of the Highway Strip, and it's like a bunch of road songs. And that song in particular. Yep. And yeah, exactly. Tour Spiel. And that, this song, it hits this emotional thing in me that I don't even know how to describe, but I just think of a young native girl. Everything bad that ever happened because of a damn train.
Yeah.
And so she just got, you know, and I just think, man, I don't know. It just seems poignant right now. It had all these themes of like the encroachment of civilization and just oppression. And anyway, I just thought it was real poignant. And I wanted to kind of give it like a folk arrangement. The original arrangement's a lot of, there's like drum machine and organs and stuff. And I just stripped it all back. And,
sure.
And yeah.
Yeah, you were the interpreter, Will. It's beautiful. Let's listen.
Army train that took her daddy from her. It was the Bible train that took her mama too. And that high loud whistle made her horse run away. But the straw that broke the camel's back was you. It was the government train that took away her childhood. It was the KKK that took away her past. It was the white man's will that hers be broken. But that barefoot girl could run too fast. Because the world's too cold for a girl like that. With a blackfoot soul and a cowboy hat. Everything she loved went down the dragon track. She had a fear of trains. She had a fear of trains. In the beet fields of Montana, she's always coming on dead rails to break the plow and whisper, honey. Bound to live is bound to fail. In a park in San Francisco, her mama shrieks about the Lord. And down the dead rails there's an echo. The wind is whistling all aboard. Because the world's too cold for a girl like that. With a blackfoot soul and a cowboy hat. Everything she loved went down the dragon track. She had a fear of trains. She had a fear of trains. It was the wagon train that took away her country. It was the oil train that took away her lamp. She could have been the belle of the Ponderosa, but that was not the fat man's plan. Because the world's too cold for a girl like that. With a blackfoot soul and a cowboy hat. Everything she loved went down the dragon track. She had a fear of trains. She had a fear of trains. She had a fear of trains.
out so quick? Nothing here but a couple of chicks. Where you go, I wanna go first. And where you go, I'll be facing you right behind the hearse.
A better life awaits me at Mandalay.
I wanna see you there, I'm not far away.
A better life awaits me at Mandalay.
Wherever you go, I'm tailgating. A better life awaits me. And all I wanna do is take me with a tank of petrol. Don't wanna look cool, don't need to feel special. I'm heading north, heading south, heading east. Break a couple chains and I break a couple leaves. I want the sand and I want the scenes, but most of all, I want my honey.
A better life awaits me at Mandalay.
I'll meet you there and I'm not too far away.
A better life awaits me at Mandalay.
Wherever you go, I will say you'll get
a better life awaits.
gray dust claws announces it's coming into morning.
Thrasher magazine, and it had to do with life on autopilot. This was in like 93 or 4, and that just reminds me of that. Is you had this whole thing about don't live your life on autopilot, and it was in Thrasher magazine, and I read and reread that and just thought, yeah, no shortcuts, man. Like, stay in the driver's seat, keep focused, keep on the mission, keep in the struggle. And anyway, that like hit me hard, man.
You're very kind, Will. The guy, Brian, the editor, or the guy who asked me to do the thing, I was trying to think of a way to relate existentialism to a skater. One way was to say, hey, I try to work my bass like it was a skateboard. But the other thing was like what you're saying, the no autopilot. Be careful, autopilot. Oh, there was a song I wrote in the Minutemen called Life as a Rehearsal. Life ain't a rehearsal, really. This is it. We're on. Speaking of which, what do you plan to do? I got to say what we... After Fear of Trains, we heard some stuff from Australia. Amos Sniffers, Mandalay, Drunk Mums, Ode to Death, Raoul Pear, Mod Vigil. And then Bundick Meets the Matson 2 from over here with Disco Kid. The Nature of Being One, the nature of being at one with all things from Dave Girard up in Massachusetts. And finally, your righteous interpretation of Bat Chain Puller. Yeah, love it. You know, and there's actually the Shiny Beast, right, and the Bat Chain. They were actually two records because the Cat would sign, you know, you had him a napkin, he would sign it. So he was actually signed to two labels at the same time. And so we got different versions of this stuff. But speaking of which, this record, you planned to tour it?
Yeah, so, I just got home from touring out west with my friends Murder by Death.
Oh, shit, I just talked to them.
Yeah, so...
Great Cat, Adam.
Yeah, yep, that's right. And so I was just out in your neck of the woods.
Shit, I wish I would have been able to come to the gig. You know what? The sound man wrote me an email, and I was playing that night. God damn it.
Oh, but that's legit. You got to do... I mean, that's legit. You got
to. There's a lot of gigs in SoCal, but fuck, why they got to be on the same day sometimes, you know? Okay, where can people find you, Will, on the internet?
Yeah, so I'm getting ready to go back out on tour, heading east, and I'm on the road a lot. But yeah, WilliamElliottWhitmore.com. You could Google your way there, I'm easy to find, and I got my PO box on my website. So write me a letter. I like
hard
getting
copy. Letters. He likes the hard copy.
Yep. So you can find me.
Yeah, you know, what about people that are younger and come up to you and maybe want to ask about the music racket and shit. Do you have any advice or just about expression, period?
Yeah, I would say no matter what your mode of expression is, whether it's painting pictures or taking photographs or whatever, playing music, work hard, show up on time, and just focus and ring your bell, man. You keep ringing your bell, and over time, people will start to notice and but whatever, just do your thing. Don't worry about whether anyone's noticing or not. Don't worry about that. Just keep ringing your damn bell and work hard and show up on time.
That's great advice, because, think about it. You got yourself and then you got everybody else, and the synchronized appreciation thing might not be happening right away.
Yeah.
So there's this Japanese word called gaman, G-A-M-A-N. It means patience. So maybe you got to have some gaman, huh? And just keep ringing the bell, though. I like this idea of ringing the bell.
I like that. Gaman.
Gaman.
I like
that. Yeah. I learned George Takei, you know, who played Mr. Sulu, right?
Yeah.
He grew up in one of those camps. Very unfortunate thing. But they had a song called Gaman, Hold On, We're Going to Get Out of Here. There was a fuck up. Things are going to get right again.
It's kind of, man.
You know, it was a hell. It was a slug, but he made it. And, he's got a musical, right? It's called Allegiance or something. He's up there in the 80s and still touring. So me and you can keep doing that, too. It's been a big honor for me, Will, to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Truly. I want you to keep on keeping on. And, keep the keel in the water, but be the hard charger you are. It's beautiful, Will. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Right back. People, it's been September 30th, 2018 edition of Wap Beatles Show. Special guest, William Elliott Whitmore. Keep your powder dry.